I'll greet each one of you in the precious and worthy name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here this morning. Maybe before the message, just a few related items or related some things prior to the message. This past week, there was a pastor's breakfast at the Mennonite Friendship Community. Just a small group of us there, but they really would like to see more volunteers involved with just coming and interacting with the residents, reading with them, singing, visiting, just some practical things. If you have a spare evening, I shouldn't say spare evening. They don't like a lot of activities after 6 o'clock through the week. So if you have spare time during the day, if you're semi-retired or if you have a child that doesn't know what to do, you know, they enjoy interaction with children quite a bit. Feel free to make yourself available to that. They have a separate life enhancement department that you can come in contact with, and they can direct you to people who would welcome that interaction. Would also just comment, this summer had some significant events for our family with my dad passing away the first half of June, and then still sort of in catch-up mode with garden work and stuff when the house fire happened, with the rebuilding and then the ordination. Just like to say, God has provided wonderfully, and I just thank you as a body for the support and encouragement that you have been through these times. This coming week, tomorrow morning, I'll be traveling with Arlen and Lee to the bishop's meeting in Pennsylvania. And from there, on the way back, I'll be flying into St. Louis and be picked up by Paul and Martha from Cedar Crest and Karen. And John Yu will be there as well, and we'll continue on to Paris, Tennessee from there for some church work there. So invite your prayers. We plan to be back for the weekend, but it looks like a full week, and just invite your prayers. Might just comment, if one of the ushers can get the mic ready fairly soon, have you come up, and I'm going to let some of these younger fellows do the scripture reading this morning for us. So I've entitled the message, Seeking the Kingdom of God. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke 12, and we'll be reading verses 22 through 40. If you want to bring the mic up, please. Let Vincent start here. Just read one verse at a time and then pass the mic on. Work on reading distinctly so everyone can hear. Hold the mic up close to your mouth. So one verse at a time. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22 through verse 40. Okay, Vincent, go ahead.
And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on.
The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them, and how much more are ye better than the fowls?
And which of you, which with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?
If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest?
Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these.
But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?
Just hand it back.
And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind.
For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things.
But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning.
Ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he is returned from the wedding, that he cometh and knocketh and may open unto him immediately.
Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them.
If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants.
And this know, that if the good men of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through.
Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not.
Thank you. Can any of you tell me where a similar passage is found, especially the first 3/4 of what we read?
Matthew 6.
In Sermon on the Mount, we have a very similar passage. The last part is a bit different. I noticed in the Sermon on the Mount, we have a lot of the same information in Luke, but it's in different parts throughout Luke versus all in one passage. I'd like to address three things this morning, three main points. The first is a question: what is the kingdom of God? Point number two, distractions to seeking the kingdom. And the third point, seeking the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? How do you describe it? And I invite some input. If someone would come up to you and say, what is the kingdom of God? How do you put it into words? It sounds good, doesn't it? To talk about the kingdom, but what is it? Paul? Okay, there's one passage that the kingdom is within you. So what is within you? Paul, you had a comment.
Just another aspect is, you know, a kingdom is a place where a king reigns.
Mm-hmm.
So the kingdom of God is where God is reigning.
Mm-hmm.
In us.
Can anyone think of a verse that specifically says this is what the kingdom of God is? There's one. Okay, in Romans 14, we have that. We have, throughout the Gospels, we have a number of word pictures where the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like this or that. Matthew has quite a number in chapter 13. It's like a man sowing seed in his field. It's like a grain of mustard seed. It's like leaven that just permeates everything. It's like a treasure in a field where the person who finds that treasure is willing to sell all to gain that treasure. And then it's like a net. They bring it in, it's full of fish, and then sorting happens. And we have these pictures. I like the picture that's given in Daniel chapter 2, and I'd like to read that. It's the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. Vision or a dream, and he couldn't think of what it was. And Daniel was shown what it was, and he gave the interpretation. And in that vision, this image that represented the kingdoms of the world stood there. And this stone that was carved out of a mountain without hands came and smote that image on the feet. The image blew away with the wind. And this stone started growing and became a mountain that filled the whole world. It was a beautiful picture of that kingdom. I'll just read it in Daniel 2:44. It says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's a beautiful picture of that kingdom that's all-consuming, all-encompassing, and it's not going to be ruled over by any earthly being. And it is eternal. In Romans 14, I'd like to read a few verses that include that description of what the kingdom is. Now, if you take this passage in context, it's speaking quite a bit about eating as well. They're judging each other what they should or should not eat, and this brother doesn't eat this, and we look critically at him, or this brother over here allows himself to eat this, and we look critically at him. And Paul is saying, when he comes down to that, says, the kingdom of God is not these things. It's not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. Might just comment on in the passage there in Luke. Christ is teaching, don't be anxious about food and clothing, especially those two items. But I wonder, when I was reading this, I wonder, well, now, are people not to worry about having enough? Or is it they're not supposed to worry amidst the plenty that they have on what they eat and what they wear? Have you spent a lot of time, ladies, when you have company coming in, you do want to make a fairly good impression because it's sort of significant visitors, and you spend quite a bit of time trying to get just the right menu? And I think this maybe applies. I don't know that that is what Christ is teaching, but I think it does apply more to our setting today. Most of us don't have to worry about having enough. We have plenty, but we can sort of fret and worry about just doing it right. And I think here in the Romans passage, it's just clear, you know, that really isn't what the kingdom of God is about just doing the right thing. And as well as clothing, that's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's that kingdom that is to be within us. Some translations, it's the kingdom that is among you. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, included in that prayer is, thy kingdom come, your kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Let it come and infill our hearts. His kingdom of peace and mercy and justice. The second song we sang this morning had a phrase in there, how great the joy that thou hast bought, so far exceeding hope or thought. You know that it's a kingdom of joy, it's a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace. And I think the fruits of the Spirit are some of the characteristics of that kingdom: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, temperance, and so on. And it would also say humility is one. In Christ's teachings in Matthew 18, he says, unless we humble ourselves as little children, we can't even enter that kingdom. But if we become like a little child, those are the ones who are greatest in the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God, it's a glorious kingdom, and it is growing. In spite of you or in spite of me, it will continue to grow and expand and encompass the whole world. But we're invited to participate in that kingdom, and it is eternal. We are to be sons and daughters of the King. And as Luke 12:32 says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, this glorious kingdom. What are some distractions to the kingdom? And I find it interesting that Christ, in leading up to that statement, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, he addresses two basic needs of mankind, food and clothing. And I think these can be distracting things for us. Like I mentioned in Romans 14, I think it was distracting people. They were focusing on doing it just right, eating the right foods, and so on. And Paul is telling them, that's not what the kingdom of God is about. You're being distracted. Leave those things behind. Don't judge each other. And can just sort of envision Jesus standing on the hillside as he's teaching there. And there are a few ravens or birds flying around, and he points that up and he says, now look at those birds flying around up in the sky. Are they worrying about what they're going to be eating today or tomorrow? No, they fly around and they feed on the things that God has provided for them. They don't waste energy in worrying and so on and fretting. And then he goes on and he talks about clothing. And he can see Jesus standing there and he says, now look at some of these dandelions down here around your feet. Look at them closely. Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as elegantly or whatever adjective you put in there as some of these common flowers are. They just grow and they're dressed the way that God has made them. They don't worry about it. They last just for a short time, but for that short time, God takes care of them. How much more does God take care of us who are created in his own image? It's a saying that we have at home. If we could clearly see the miracle of a flower, it would change our life forever. Take it for what it's worth. But Jesus is saying, these are the things that the nations of the world seek after. And it's a false security. It's not where we're supposed to have our security in. I'm not sure exactly what the era or under which administration it was, but it was after a food shortage scare, the saying for agriculture became, get big or get out. Are you familiar with that statement? Some have heard it already, okay? And it was an effort to have a secure food supply for the nation. And the push was for mass production. Well, my dad never quite got it. To get big or get out, and I don't think I got it either. But it was an attempt to provide something secure. And, you know, from a nation's perspective, we can maybe understand why they want to provide for the people as a nation so that there isn't a shortage of food. But that is not what the kingdom of God consists of. These temporal things can and will burn up. Believe me, they can. The more we cling to these temporal material things, the harder it will be to lose them. In 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's telling him, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Just in simple words, don't trust in things, but trust in God. And as we trust God, he provides. And I think the more loosely we hold things, the better we're capable of enjoying them. If we grasp and we hang on, we protect, we don't really enjoy them that much. But when we hold them loosely, we can enjoy them much better. So I would say if you have a tendency to be distracted from seeking after the kingdom, just simply do what Jesus tells us to do. If you're in downtown, take 5 minutes to watch the pigeons and starlings fly around and think a little bit. How does God provide for them? What lessons can we learn from these birds flying around? or take a little time to just sit down in the grass and look at some of the sometimes very tiny flowers or a big blossom of some kind, and look at the flower and give some thought to how do these flowers function, and learn the lessons that Jesus is trying to teach in this passage in Luke about what it means to not be anxious, not to worry about things. Don't let these things distract you, and allow it to be a teachable time for you. Third point, seeking the kingdom. And again, looking at the Luke 12 passage. Versus spending so much time on these earthly things, he's saying, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You will be taken care of. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's a wonderful verse. But then he gives some directives on what are some things that we need to do in order to seek the kingdom. When he says, sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. I think Jesus is saying, simply get rid of things that distract from seeking. It takes effort. Lay those things aside so you can focus on seeking. Put your investment, the next verse, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Put your investment in something that is ongoing and indestructible. Where we invest or where our treasure is, that is where our heart is. In the next verse, talks about let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Stay dressed, stay alert. Be ready for the coming of Christ. Be ready for an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. How do we do that? I think most of us are familiar with the short story, The Shoemaker's Dream, where Martin the Shoemaker was at his cobbler's bench. It's getting late and he was getting tired, and he nodded off and slept. And in his sleep, he had a dream. And in the dream, Jesus came to him and said, Martin, tomorrow I'm coming to visit you. And Martin awoke and, boy, just a dream. But he went to bed and, boy, it felt good. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Next morning, he wakes up, he opens up his little shop, and he's sitting at the bench again, at the cobbler's bench. And he looks out the window, and here's a gentleman shoveling snow off the street. And he's cold. And Martin opens up the door. Well, it's just this man, but hey, sir, come on in. It's cold out there. Warm your feet by the fire. Have a cup of tea. Let's visit. And he comes in. And after a while, the gentleman leaves with a warmer soul and a warmer stomach, a warmer body. Goes back to shoveling snow. Martin keeps watching out the window. When is Jesus coming? And all at once, there's a squall going on the outside. And Martin steps out, and here's a young, call him a rascal, if you will, trying to snitch an apple from an old lady's basket. And she has him and not letting him go, and they're yelling at each other. And Martin steps in and intervenes. And he settles the argument between the two so that as they leave, they're walking, the boy is carrying the basket for the lady, and both are happy. And so Martin goes back in his shop, and he continues to watch to see if Jesus is coming to visit him that day. And soon he sees a lady walking down the street with a baby. And as she's coming close, Martin steps out and says, come on in, you don't have enough garments for this kind of weather. And she sits by the fire, warms herself and her baby. And Martin goes and gets a heavy overcoat, provides it for them, and soon they leave. Martin sits down at his bench again, continues his work, and finally it's getting dark. Where is Jesus? And as he's sitting there, he gets tired and he goes to sleep again. And suddenly he has a dream, and Jesus is standing there. And Martin is asking, "Well, Jesus, why didn't you come today?" And then these three scenes flash before him of what he did that day. And Jesus says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." That is kingdom work, investing in other people's lives. And as we heard this morning in the devotional, while we tend to be service-oriented, we want to do service because of who we are in Christ. We don't do these kinds of actions to gain brownie points or to gain entrance, but we do them because we are in the kingdom already, and we are serving a risen Lord and Savior, and we are wanting to imitate our Lord in these common acts of doing good to each other. Do you think righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost was lived out by Martin in the story? I say yes. That was kingdom in shoe leather, so to speak. Yes, it was a shoemaker. We invest in each other, and as we do that, we invest in the kingdom. And so I'd encourage you, as you go through this week, look for opportunities in your interactions with people. How can you meet a need? How can you give encouragement? How can you continue to build the kingdom of God? In Proverbs 3, two verses, Proverbs 3, 27 and 28, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee." In other words, if you have an opportunity to do good, don't procrastinate. Get it done right there. Tomorrow, you might not have that opportunity again. And so do good to other people. I think exercising disciplines of the Christian life are important in seeking the kingdom of God. There are a number of disciplines. I've got three listed here. One is fasting, simply to refrain from something legitimate for a period of time to give seeking after God its rightful place. And what that fasting consists of for you, you decide. It can be food. Maybe it means spending less time in sleep and getting up and just seeking after God. Maybe it's staying away from the newspaper, or casual reading, or social media, and the list could go on. But I think fasting is something, well, Jesus anticipates that all his followers will fast at some time. And so I'd encourage you, do fasting of some kind. Seek after God. Takes effort to do it. Another discipline is simply solitude, being away from people, being by yourself, devoted to seeking after God. And another one is quietness, having things quiet. You can listen to a lot of good sermons, a lot of good singing. That's good. But there are times when you need to get away from that and simply be quiet. Remember seeing this picture, sort of a silly picture of a sheep that was on a lawn chair on the beach, had his eyeglasses and earphones on. And in his mind, he was wondering, why isn't the shepherd calling? And in the background, we have the shepherd calling his sheep. But the sheep simply can't hear because it's got too much noise going. We need to have time to just simply be quiet in order to hear the voice of God. He doesn't impose himself. Sometimes we just need to make the effort to be quiet. In Luke 11, it's again sort of a portion of Sermon on the Mount material, 11 verses 9 through 13, Jesus is saying, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, all three of these things, to ask, to seek, and to knock, are active. They are not passive. And in going after the kingdom of God, it's not just a passive thing that will happen automatically. It's something that we need to be actively engaged in. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And we say, duh, of course they won't do these things. They will give what they ask for. And then Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so we seek, we knock, we ask for the kingdom of God, and it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to us. And so this morning I just encourage us, let's take that time to seek after the kingdom of God. It's an investment that is well worth it, and it's worth investing with anticipation. His kingdom will continue to grow. It will continue to expand. Let's participate in that growth. Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, this morning we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that it is your pleasure to give us the kingdom. And Lord, help us to learn more of what it means to participate in building your kingdom, as well as to seek after your kingdom, to allow it to grow within our own hearts, and as it grows there, to share it with other people so that your kingdom can continue, or will continue to move forward, to grow and expand. Lord, I just pray your blessing and direction on each one of us here this morning, and help us as we go through this week to just be alert for opportunities to do good to other people, to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.